And so in an interview, I think it's really important to express, not impress. So you're trying to communicate clearly little things about yourself and why, like who you are. You're a story to tell. There's a lot of aspects about you. There's a lot of interesting things about you. But the interviewer doesn't know that. They know nothing about you. You're a blank canvas. So you, what you say will make an impression on them. And so you've got to express who you are.
Everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Consulting with the Course. I am Hebe, your host for today, and this week we have two very special guests, David, who is 180 Degrees Consulting former president, and he is also working at currently as a business analyst, and we also have Kylan, who is our current president, and she's studying economics at University of Melbourne. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. We really appreciate you coming today. And I am sure that not only us, but our listeners will be able to learn a lot of from your experience. So hi, David. Hi, Kylie.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes. So to ease our way into today's episode, let's warm up with a quick random question. So can you please use three words to describe yourself? And three words to describe 180 Degree Consulting. Who will go first?
I think Kylan will go first because she's seen this question before.
I would say I like people. I like talking to people, so I'm friendly. I love being active, so I'm always doing like a number of different sports. And then I would say I'm a pretty curious person, like David. I love learning about new things, so I'll be watching the odd documentary or book here and there. So yeah, I would say those three words.
I'll go first and on the three words, and then we'll go back to 180. So for mine, we'll go with twin, because I'm a twin. Personally, that's as descriptive as I can be. Consultant, because as far as work goes, that's sort of as descriptive as I can be there. And then let's go for hobbies. Let's go cinephile. I watch a lot of movies, and I've been watching more and more movies recently, ever since I finished uni. I feel like my movies have replaced studies. So that's the third one.
Okay. Now's the time for it as well.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Yeah.
The cinemas are going off at the moment.
Yeah. So what about three words for 180, Kylan?
Ooh, three words for 180. I would say the best people.
Oh. Thank you.
Everyone at 180 is great. They're friendly. They're passionate. They're curious. I love everyone. A lot of my closest friends are from 180.
Okay, so if we have the best people, I'm going to go with social impact consulting. Because I feel like those are the two strengths, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we do, and here's who we do it with.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the club in a nutshell.
Okay, thank you for your answer. So as both of you have a lot of experience, you know, in terms of internship, and David, you're working full-time now. So how has 180 helped you in getting the internship or your current job?
I can go first on this if you want, because there's a fairly comprehensive list of options that you have. I think the most obvious two would start with are like the resume building and the interview. I know that's what we're going to get into later on in the session. So as far as the resume, I think 180 Degrees helps enormously with the resume, which people are always very nervous about. I think it helps, though, not because it's consulting per se, but because it's pro bono work. It's volunteer work. And I think that it's really important to have and show that you can volunteer, show that you care about things. When people are looking at your resume, it stands out when you're doing some volunteering. It shows that you actually care, and especially if you have several different bits of volunteering. I think that shows that you really do care about what it is that you're doing. 180 Degrees really helps with that. As far as the interview process, I know that at 180 we do the same kind of interviewing format as consulting firms. We do video interviews, we do case interviews. So becoming familiar with that can help. And then I'll say that once you're in, like the way that you run through a project at 180 is as close to real consulting as you will get. You know, it's much more realistic to the day-to-day work. And I can say that now that I have started to do the day-to-day work than say just a case interview is. So the actual work sets you up really well. Mm-hmm. And Caroline, does that sound like,
exactly. And I think I agree. There is an entire comprehensive list of how 180 sets you up really well for internships and various work experiences. I would kind of build on David's answer in that I think 180 helps you figure out who you are. It helps you figure out what you like, what you don't like. You're working on a variety of projects with a variety of non-for-profits who all operate in different ways. And you kind of figure out how different organizations work, and you figure out what you like and don't like about different things. I think for me, 180 made me realize how much I enjoyed social impact. I mean, when I joined, I definitely said that I liked it in the interview. and I did. I had like a little bit of volunteer experience at non-for-profits, but I think it just kind of became like a main passion. And I think now when I say it, I really truly mean it, because it's very satisfying being able to help a non-for-profit, being able to help their goals come into fruition. And then I think that passion generally just like shines when you then go into internship interviews or work interviews and you talk about it, because people generally respond to things that you're passionate about. And
things I think that that's you're so true, especially once you're in. When people are trying to get into consulting, often people say that they're really interested in it. And then once you're in consulting and you meet other consultants, they're trying to figure out if consulting's really for them. You know, they start like starting to take a look at who they are. And 180 kind of gets shortcuts that stage. You kind of figure out, hey, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm about.
Yeah.
And you sort of end up with a better purpose, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the purpose is really important.
Yes. And to me, I think in terms of resume, it gives you kind of a confidence boost when you go to the interview and say, oh, I'm from 180. So I'm really proud whenever I say that. And I keep talking about it whenever I got a chance. So it's great. So in terms of along the consulting journey, so what advice would you guys give to someone who is completely new into consulting and how to get started?
You can enter consulting with very little idea of what it is. Just to give you an idea, I first heard about consulting when a mate of mine said that the Melbourne Uni had sent him overseas to do a competition for them. And I didn't actually listen to what the competition was about. Turns out it was a case competition for consulting. I just listened to the travel part. I was like, that sounds awesome. How do we get that? So I had to go and manage to get into the program. And then I found out, oh my goodness, this is actually kind of difficult. I've got no experience in this thing and had to develop the skill set. So I came into consulting without even trying to, in a sense. Then when you actually want to kind of move into consulting, I really think that pro bono places like 180 Degrees are the best place to start. You see so many people who really want to be in consulting because they care about the travel like I did or the money, but they want to jump straight into like the firm. And that's just really tough.
Mm.
Like a place like 180 shows that you actually care about this, that you have some genuine experience in consulting and that you were doing it purely because you wanted to help these businesses or these non-for-profits. And I think that that is bar none the best place to start.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the process is what should, I guess, drive people to take up certain opportunities. Like I think if you do pro bono work at a place like 180, you understand what the day-to-day is like and you can really understand whether or not you like it. And I think I saw like a quote the other day. It was like by an NBA coach or something. And it was like, I think everybody enjoys like the end goal or achieving an outcome, but do you enjoy like the practice and the day-to-day practice of something? And that's how you know whether something is like your dream job or not your dream job. And I would say, I mean, if you go into a firm or like a work opportunity, just solely motivated by like money or travel, I mean, that's great. It's definitely a perk, but if you don't enjoy the day to day, then how are you going to enjoy your job, right? So I think 180 really gives you a taste.
Wow, definitely.
If I can, a lot of what we've been talking about is people who are new to consulting as an idea. I'll add on to that and give some advice for people who are new to a consulting firm, like who have just started or have just started doing some consulting. The tips I generally give, we have interns that come in or people who start, is I give them three tips for just like this will set you up and shortcut a lot of the issues you may start with. And that's one, think in categories. Like I just said it there, I've got three tips. So think in categories. Two, know your deadlines at every time. Always know when things are due. Yeah. And three, know what the final product will look like before you start the work. Know what you want it to look like at the end. And if you can keep those three things in mind, yeah, the work's pretty easy after that. Like, it's a lot easier than it is before that. It can get quite quite conceptually challenging before that point, I've found.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think this applies to consulting, but I think it applies to any internship or work.
Yeah, just saying it out loud. That kind of is just general professional work. Advice.
Professional corporate advice. I would say the thing that helped me the best in my internships or work experiences was when you first go in, there could be a lot of things that just go over your head. You have no idea what's going on. I mean, I entered tech. There was like a million jargon. I had no idea what everyone was saying. Every second word was like someone was talking about like front-end development or like, you know, all of those things. And I was like Googling it on the side. I had no idea. I think the best thing was to just take notes. If you had no idea what they were saying, just write it down verbatim. And then over time, I guess you can like Google them later or ask your supervisor later. And over time, it'll start to make sense rather than trying to retain it all in your head. And then once you kind of go through your notes, ask yourself, why? What's the bigger picture here? Mm. What's the so what? What does this mean? How is this helping my team achieve the outcomes that they want or the goals that they want? And then over time, you like start to notice patterns. And you also kind of start to notice when people are just blabbering for the sake of blabbering and they're not actually working towards something.
It's a good check to have.
It's generally just a good check, a good useful skill to have in any work experience, I would say.
Wow, perfect. Amazing. So I have a consulting internship this next year.
Ooh,
so it was really helpful. So we can actually move on into, you know, in terms of preparation. So what is your best strategy to practice case interview?
Yeah, so I was actually pretty new to the individual case prep process about 2 months ago. I had my case interview. I found out that I had it like 5 days after they notified me.
Yeah.
And I actually leaned on David here, which is another perk of 180. You have friends who you can practice with. And David was awesome. He gave me a bit of a rundown. But I think first of all, I'm going to talk about interviews as a whole, and then I'll go into case interviews. I think when David talks about categorizing things, it's really useful because it makes, like, you have an objective behind, I guess, what you're speaking about. Like, you know, okay, I'm going to convey these things. And so in an interview, I think it's really important to express, not impress. So you're trying to communicate clearly little things about yourself and why, like who you are. You're a story to tell. There's a lot of aspects about you. There's a lot of interesting things about you, but the interviewer doesn't know that. They know nothing about you. You're a blank canvas. So what you say will make an impression on them. And so you've got to express who you are. And I think sometimes people get caught up in, what will the interviewer think? What do they want out of me? And you then kind of give answers that may not be authentic to who you are. So I would say that's important. In terms of the case, it's an opportunity also to showcase who you are. It's an opportunity to showcase how you personally think. And yes, there are like best practices, like, you know, there's like categorize your thinking. There are frameworks. But I would say don't let those frameworks kind of box you in. It's a starting point. It's a foundation from where you can kind of build off of.
When I did a consulting internship, one of the people who I was working with, one of the other interns, he was a med student. He'd never done any practicing for the case interview. And he spent the entire interview just asking questions of the partner. Partner loved it, couldn't get enough of it, found it really refreshing. So there's not just one way to do it. There's quite a few ways. And as long as you're giving it your best effort and showing that you're actually willing to take in information, it goes a long way. All of the best practice tips and tricks that you'll hear about are trying to get you to that state of being inquisitive and being able to take in information, ask for it, get towards an answer to some question. I've got some miscellaneous tips that put together. Like Victor Chang, everybody will go to him and point to him as kind of the holy Bible. He's sort of the definitive book on case interviews. I do recommend it. It's quite a good read. You can skim through some sections, but it's a very good starting point if you have no idea. You're then going to have to start talking to other people around you, ideally, or working with friends like, you know, Kylan did with me, like I did with other 180 presidents. Like it is actually a perk of, of being in the network. But it really does help to be able to get their tips, what's worked for them. I've found some practices. I have two little cute practices that I think are really helpful. One is that I like giving structured speaking on silly ideas. So I give myself a terrible prompt, a business thing that will never work, and I give myself 1 minute to answer it. It might be like why a library should host nightclub raves at night when its opening hours close. And you just have to try to make that make sense and deliver on it for a minute in a cogent manner. So libraries should do this. There are three benefits. Try to figure out some benefits and then wrap it up. And if you get confident on speaking on things that terrible, ideas that terrible, your ideas in the interview are going to sound amazing to you, and you're going to be able to present on them with confidence. The other tip is that if you know who your interviewer is ahead of time, try to figure out what they're interested in, what works, like that they handle. I remember in the partner interview that I was mentioning for this interview, for my internship, I looked up who the partner was ahead of time. I found out that he'd written a whole lot of articles about the future of TV. I read those articles as preparation, but also just as interest. It was quite well written. It was really lovely. I learned so much. We go into the interview and he says, I've got a prepared sheet on, I think it was like the nut industry or like the breakfast industry. I can't remember. And he was like, I could also just like talk about the work I'm currently doing in TV. Would you like to hear about it? I was like, yes, let's do that one. And in my mind, I'm like, I might have actually read this thing beforehand. And he was discussing it. Yeah, it was very close to the paper that we'd been reading. So it can really pay off to know who they are and what they care about, because they're the ones doing the interview. Like, they'll guide it with their interests. I think that that's an underrated aspect of the case interview.
Yeah, exactly. And then how you mentioned that one, like, med student who berated the partner with questions. I also berated the partner interviewing me with questions. But there were questions that I was actually just genuinely curious about with the case that they gave me. I was like, wow, that's so cool, because it was kind of like a past case that they had, that the partner herself led.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's really cool. How did you personally approach it? Like, and I think when you ask things out of a genuine curiosity or a genuine interest, that shows that you're a curious person, or that you'll bring something to the team, like something refreshing, something passionate. And I think as 180 Pres, when we're doing interviews, I'm looking out for those exact same things. So I think, who wouldn't want an interested motive, like a interested, passionate, curious person working with them?
Yeah, absolutely amazing. So I think curiosity is one of the personality traits that that is very essential for if you work for consulting or actually any kind of job to, that shows your interest. And so in that's the case interview side. So what about the behavioral type, the fit interview? So do you, how did you prepare for that? And do you have any tips for behavioral interviews?
I think when I approach behaviorals, I'm just honest. I'm just very transparent.
Well, that makes
and honest.
Sense.
Yeah. Like if I didn't approach a situation very well, I will full say that and I will say what I could have done better.
Oh.
And I think that candor and that honesty is a little refreshing.
Me and Kylene have experience on both sides of the table here. We've run a whole lot of behavioral interviews.
Yeah. Like so many.
Dozens of behavioral
like
interviews
so
between us. Often in the same, like, you know, room.
Yeah.
It is so obvious when candidates are not telling you the truth. It is, like, beyond obvious. And you don't notice it as a candidate when you're giving the answer. You only notice it when you're hearing it. You go, I don't believe this person at all. And it happens almost instantaneously.
Yeah.
It is so easy to tell when somebody is not trying to pass off a polished version of themselves or a manicured version of themselves, or like the answer that they prepared earlier to the question. So generally speaking, what I recommend for fit interviews is have like a list of points that would be nice to cover. In the ideal interview, what things would you want to tell them about yourself? So for me and Kylene, I imagine, we'd love to tell them about our time at 180 Degrees. Love to tell them about non-for-profits we've helped, the projects we've been able to sort of land, and tell them about that particular part of us. I often like to tell about the fact that I'm a twin. And that means that I often have to communicate with my twin all the time. There's a list of things that I would love for them to know about me at the end of the session. But I don't want to practice for questions beyond that. Mm. I kind of want the questions to surprise me. And ideally, I can then take some unknown question, compare it to the list of things that I'd love for them to know about me, and find something that matches, find something that kind of connects. That, I think, is the way that you stay genuine while staying prepared, because it is so obvious.
Yeah.
And it's very, very cringeworthy when they start yes. waffling about like how great they are. And you're like, that was not what we asked. Like,
apologies to anyone who's had an interview with us who has given off that vibe. Yeah, this is a bit of a hot take, but I've actually, for every single kind of work experience that I've gotten, I have never prepared for their behaviorals
mm.
solely because I want to stay genuine.
Mm.
I think similar to David, like I have a couple of things that I know are my values or things that I know about
company
myself.
Values. Company values are the exception.
Yes.
You should learn, like you should take a look at those. That's yeah. a great thing to know yeah. ahead of time.
Yeah. And also good to know people who work in there, what they personally like about their company because that shows the culture. But not, I think when you ask those questions, like if I ask David, for example, what the culture at Khan is like, I shouldn't think about how I'm like such a great fit for that culture. I think it's more so, do I like that culture?
Yeah.
And if I do, then that's just going to show in the interview. And I think also knowing, I guess, what the different experiences you've had, just so you can kind of recall it a little bit better. And then also another tip is similar to what David mentioned about taking some random topic and being able to sell it well. Similarly, just take some random things and be able to kind of categorize it or articulate it in a good manner. I think that's just more so the skill rather than having like a perfectly thought out, memorized answer. I think it's the delivery and the authenticity that carries you in a behavioral.
Yeah, definitely. So I've recently had an interview and she asked, what would your friends or family say about you? And I just be honest and I just like, oh, they just thought that I'm very annoying and conflicting all the time. And I then explained to her that because I'm conflicting because sometimes I'm very detailed. But sometimes I'm very chill. So I just list out some.
On the other side,
yeah.
So when you're listening to that and you hear an answer that sounds different to the answers you got before, the biggest answer that everybody gives is, what is your weakness? And everybody always says, I'm too much of a perfectionist. And if you hear that, your brain just like turns off. It's just, I've heard it so many times.
Oh, gosh.
If you hear someone who is actually willing to admit to a weakness and say, yeah, I find it really difficult. I remember one person said, I find it really difficult to get out of bed in the morning. Like, that is a weakness for me. I find that really difficult. Once I do, the day is easy. But I find that a bit challenging. And I'm trying to work on it in these ways. It was a really interesting answer. I remember that answer to this day because it was such an eye-opening answer. And they still were able to talk about what they were doing to target it, you know, how they tried to address it and what they're doing to kind of work on it and what it says about, like, who they are. It's so much more interesting than someone saying, yeah, I care about things too much. I need it to be perfect, you know, every time. And you're like, oh, really? Oh, really?
Great, definitely. So that's perfect. Thank you for your advice. But actually, due to our limited time, I'm afraid that this is the end of the podcast. But before I let you guys go, I have one last question for you guys. So what are the questions that we should ask the interviewer at the end when we want to leave a good impression?
I like how you've done this. You put it at the end of this interview.
I can start with this one. I would say, okay, so the question was, what should we ask them to leave a good impression? I think that should not be the goal.
Okay.
I think the goal is, so sorry.
No worries.
I think the goal is ask questions that you actually genuinely want to know about. You have an opportunity if, like, let's say you're in an individual case interview and you're with a partner. You're a partner who's been working in that industry for, like, what, 20 plus years? They have a wealth of experience. They've got so much cool life experiences. Ask them anything you want to know. As long as it's respectful, of course, and professional, and related to the work. You don't want to leave any red flags.
Yeah.
But ask them genuinely anything you want to know.
That's probably a better answer than what I was going to say. I don't think it matters as far as it's not going to cause you to like win the internship or lose it all in that one question you leave that's so blindingly amazing they can't help but sign you on the spot. It's just not going to happen. So either ask a question that shows your interest. What I sometimes do is I sort of almost put myself in the position of, let's say I did get this job. What would you want to see from me then? Like, you know, what does it take to be really good at this job from your perspective? Yeah. You know, almost from their mind, psychologically, get them into a position where it's like, if you did accept me, like, what can I then do to kind of further excel in this?
Yeah.
That can be a nice step beyond the interview. And you already, almost like subtly or subliminally put yourself already in the position. Yeah. That can be nice. Yeah. Otherwise, there's no silver bullet.
And I would also say, like for me, when I look for a job, I guess I'm looking for things that I find interesting so I can do on a day-to-day. But I'm also looking at my own, like, personal development. So if you ask them anything about development, like, if I were to, if I were successful in this job, what kind of development opportunities are out there? Like, how can I further, my soft skills or my hard skills? What kind of things can I learn?
And since we've given you all these things you can do, one thing not to do, please don't ask them what the favorite part of their job is. That's the most common one. You end up answering it all the time. And it can be one of those, your brain switches off and you start delivering a reversed answer.
Also, another thing, and this might be just for me, but whenever I receive a question about, like, when will I know my outcome?
Oh, yes.
It's like whenever it's like admin related.
We missed an opportunity
I will let you know all the admin things. You can ask your recruiter about the admin things. There's so many more interesting, cooler questions that you can ask.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I actually, I recently had an interview, and the question that I asked them is, why did you give me this case interview, the case study?
I'd be really interested in answering that. You kind of want it to be interesting for them to answer the question. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to answer that.
Awesome. I actually asked them, why do you pick this particular industry, this particular case, this particular graph to ask me? So what do you want to know about me? So what do you want from
us? Yeah.
Well, I mean, they said it's good. It's a good question. So, yeah. I actually lied to you guys. This is not the last question.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Gosh.
So, how do you deal with a situation when you're quite surprised, you know, with the questions in the interview and you don't really know how to answer?
On a meta level, I like how you've done this too, launching the surprise question as a surprise question. Generally, I think this happens often more so in case interviews than behaviorals. Mm. With behaviorals, you're going to know yourself. You probably have something that you can speak on with some clarity. In behaviorals, I remember partner interviews are often the one that you get thrown really strange questions. I remember one time the partner just said, this is the industry and this is what they do. And he said, I want you to think for 3 minutes and then tell me the three things that they might like care, what three problems they care about the most.
Whoa.
And I had no context on the industry or client. He said, don't speak to me or don't ask any questions. I want you to do all the thinking and just, I just want to hear three problems that they're facing. And it was like, okay.
Let's do
excellent,
it.
Excellent, let's do it. And what you've got to realize is that if it surprises you, it probably surprised the person before you and the person before them. Everybody's going to be thrown by these things. So you can feel free to just give it your best shot. And don't get nervous about that. It's okay. Fine to have a question surprise somebody. As an interviewer, you're not like waiting for them to stammer and go, gotcha. Like, you're interested in just seeing how they deal with that situation. If they show that they don't get too fazed by it, that probably makes them a pretty good fit for the job.
Yeah.
If they start getting really nervous because they found something uncertain, that's kind of the job in consulting. Maybe that's more telling than any answer you would give.
Yeah.
So I think roll with it.
Yeah, no, roll with it. And also just be bold. Like,
definitely.
I think if everyone's thrown off, then there's no loss of it, my experience. So.
Yeah, amazing, definitely. I think what you have, the advice that you guys have given is really helpful. But it's sad that I have to let you guys go. So once again, thank you so much, David and Kylan, for coming out today. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. So we hope that you had an enjoyable time. So thank you so much once again.
Awesome. Thank you right back. This was lovely.
Yeah, this was fun. Thank you.
Thank you.